The Lecture on Church Organization by A.T. Jones. The subject is the duties of church officers and the qualifications that are necessary for an elder, more especially in connection with the word episcopus. Paul refers to this somewhat in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. There are no rulers in the church, but there are guides, see margin. The marginal writing is more in harmony with the meaning of episcopus than ruler. It will be better to use this with the marginal readings, as the elder is a scout, sent to watch for them in the camp. One form of duty there is to watch for souls, so in the 7th verse. Conversation here refers to our whole course of life, this being the meaning of the word in Paul's time. Then the whole purpose in choosing an elder was to obtain a guide into the way of life, to lead us to Jesus. Acts chapter 20, verse 28, conveys this idea, the same as Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Notice the margin of the third verse with the word oversee in the second verse. It is not to overrule, but oversee, to care for. Here both authors use the word to feed the flock, the figure implying a shepherd. So, verse 4, Christ is called the chief shepherd, and we must be under-shepherds, not to abuse, but to feed and care for the flock. This is another view from the one in the previous lesson. There, the elder was shown as a vigilant watchman, the soldier's aide. In these references today, we find him the minister of the fold, the shepherd, that is, under-shepherd. Peter, having had experience as one, John chapter 21, verses 15 to 17, why did he ask Peter three times? No doubt because he denied him three times. Yet the lesson here for us, I think, is this, that before we attempt to feed the flock, be sure we love Christ, else we cannot feed the flock. We may rule or scold them, but not feed them. If the elder loves Christ, his service will feed the flock. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. The love of Christ constraining us, then what we do will accomplish good. If this love does not constrain us, our acts are selfish. The next verse shows this to be so. If love of Christ constrains us, then our acts are pleasing to God. Otherwise, we please ourselves simply. Now, Peter tells us that when the chief shepherd shall appear, we shall receive a crumb. So we are under-shepherds and must study the chief, to know him, to act in his place. Luke chapter 15, verses 3 to 7. Here we have the method of the chief shepherd. Then when an under-shepherd sees one of the flock going astray, he shall leave the rest and seek for it. Is it any excuse, then, for an elder to allow anything of a temporal or other nature to excuse him from his duty? John chapter 10, verse 11. The good shepherd gave his life for his sheep. Then should not that spirit animate the under-shepherd? If so, the place for him is where the lost sheep is. Is it right then to leave all this work until the quarterly meeting, and then appoint committees to go and investigate? This is the elder's work, and he is not put in office to appoint committees for this duty. Verse 10 and 11. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, we find a record here of David coming to the camp before which Goliath stood defiantly. David wished to slay him, and his brothers tried to restrain him. But he tells them about killing a lion that had stolen a lamb, and David pursued and killed him. So also he killed a bear. Boy as he was, stood face to face with a lion, jeopardizing his life for his lamb, holding the fierce beast by the beard while he struck him. There are not many men who would battle for a lamb like that. Now what has God said about this man? Psalm 78, verses 70 to 72. That because of the care David gave to his sheep, God said he wanted him to rule over his people, instead of the fickle King Saul, passing by the other noble-looking sons of Jesse, to select the humble shepherd boy, saying to the prophet, "Rise and anoint him, for I have chosen him." The hireling flees when he sees a wolf, a cowardly creature, coming. Isaiah 40, verse 11. This is what the true shepherd did, and it was David's gentleness that commended him to God. There is a good deal in this, that the sheep know my voice. If the flock hears the tones of the good shepherd in one voice, it will be easier to lead them than it has been to drive them. John chapter 10, verses 4 and 7. Let us have the tones of the voice of the good shepherd. Then we can go before them, and they will follow. Now I read Psalm 23. David tells here how the chief shepherd treats him, not keeping him always in one pasture, but leading him into fresh ones, tender new grass. So an elder wants to study, to be apt to teach, apt to show by argument, so as to have something fresh for food always. Then there will be greater prosperity in the work. Not that he should preach a sermon every time, only a few texts or words, perhaps, to lead out their thoughts into new channels, but not get into a routine. Every member should make this a matter of thought and try to help the elder by watching the line of his discourse or talk, or in the social meeting, leading out in that line. Then a good meeting will follow, a special meeting, not a stranger's meeting. Besides, if we are in sympathy with the speaker, not criticizing or finding fault, we can obtain great benefit from any sermon or talk. We may be perfectly familiar with the text, but if the Spirit of the Lord directs him, those texts never fall together in his mind as they would in ours, and so help, and new thoughts will come to us. Besides, it helps him in giving him the benefit of the closeness of our sympathy with him. If we withhold this, we weaken him. The elder of the church is to visit the afflicted ones and lead them into quiet waters, instill faith into the discouraged, and lift up the fallen, because that is what the good shepherd said, "Learn of me." Paul and Peter write the elders to lead the flock into the paths of righteousness. So also in the shadow of death, to go as far as they can, and leave the dying one in the hands of the good shepherd, to meet him again hereafter. To take also the bread of life, and prepare a table at which the flock can feed. And then, if they do all they can, to see that goodness and mercy surround the flock, they shall have peace. Then let us all get in that place in which, when the words of the good shepherd are heard, we may recognize his voice. There are thousands of people in the church today who are weary of the word as spoken to them and do not know what to do. But as soon as we get into that position where God can see us, the Lord will call these out to hear the truth.